Angela Merkel, the former long-term chancellor of Germany. She was in an interview and she let it slip that she thinks they'll still be fighting, Ukraine and Russia will still be fighting that war in 10 years' time. They want it to keep it going. The military-industrial complex are cashing in. And they're having an opportunity to test all battlefield weapons real time, and they're loving it. But I mean, it is actually NATO that's fighting Russia. It's not Ukraine. When we have been firing, UK have been firing Storm Shadow missiles for 2.5 years with UK technicians out of our missiles, out of Ukraine, into Russia. And the French have been doing the same with the Scalps, and you Americans, you've been doing the same with your attackums.
We gave them, I believe, $350 billion, but let's say it's something less than that, but it's a lot. And we have to equalize with Europe because Europe has given us a very much smaller percentage than that. I think Europe has given 100 billion and we've given, let's say, 300 plus. And it's more important for them than it is for us. We have an ocean in between and they don't.
Or Europe manufacture missiles, American missiles.
They would like to be able to do that. We'll take a look at it. They have asked about it.
I mean, how can you say we're not at war with Russia when, if Russia occupied or had a deal with Scotland and they were put their missiles into Scotland and were firing them at London, I think we'd say we're at war with Russia. We're in exactly that situation. Russia do not want to have a war with Europe or NATO. They've only got 144 million people. The combined population of NATO countries is 975 million. Russia's already the largest country in the world. They've got between $70 and $90 trillion of identified natural resources. That's the reason that the BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street want NATO to engage in a war with Russia.
And let me just stop you and back you up. They said our new business model is a wartime economy. It'll last 20 or 30 years. We will win the conventional war. We don't think Russia will ever go nuclear. And then we will break Russia up in five parts. That is Napoleonic. It's Hitlerian. And now they're back again saying it. And so, and I agree with you, we've got 900 million people. And then,
and Alex, we've done all this before. In 1991, when we told the Russians that, or the Soviet Union, let us have East Germany and let us reunify Germany. We'll never move EU and NATO an inch east of there. We've moved 1,000 miles since. What did we end up with in East Germany? We ended up with a lot of old Soviet weapons, enormous. They were sent to Yugoslavia in 1991. That's what created the war in Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia was a competitor organization to the European Union and NATO. We destroyed those countries. And then we picked apart and took what we wanted. We balkanized them in the Balkans.
Germany had free LNG and gas and energy with Angelica Merkel and Putin. They were like this. I hope you don't edit this out. They were best friends until 2014. And there was a CIA coup d'etat in Kiev with Victoria Nuland. Look it up. And then it was Biden and Burisma and profit and money laundering.
So we took Croatia and Slovenia into NATO and the EU pretty quickly. We've had Montenegro since, and we blame the Serbs for it. We, the EU and NATO, we created that war in the Balkans. And if you remember, we bombed Belgrade for many, many months. There's no way they could fight back against us. We're not wearing the white hats in this, Alex, and I'm ashamed of what part we've played in wars in Europe.
They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds, hear the broadcast, share the signal at alexjoneslive.com. alexjoneslive.com. We've only...
This is an emergency transmission. transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday afternoon. Hope you're all doing well. Share that link, alexjoneslive.com. alexjoneslive.com is how you find us. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today here at the end of the week. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls as well, so we can get your input on the state of the world and where it is. Of course, the ongoing reaction to Donald Trump's MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, and of course, Israel's reaction has been to do everything it can to destroy the MOU. They're obviously not big fans of it. And, you know, there's the way it's being perceived and the way it's actually happening. The way it's being perceived, the way they're trying to put it across, is as if Israel's actions in Lebanon are a matter of existential importance, is a life and death situation, which they are compelled, they are required, it's not up to them, they're being attacked, they got to fight back. They're doing that, and they're doing it in the best way they know how, and darn it, President Trump is telling them they have to tie their hands behind their back, and this is so unfair. The number one, the first stipulation of the Memorandum of Understanding between Iran and America was the territorial sovereignty and integrity of Lebanon. It's the first thing on the list. In response to this, Israel has not just continued operations in Lebanon. They have expanded them massively in the last 24 hours. So this is not a matter of Donald Trump asking them politely to stop, them saying, look, we're in this battle. We got to keep fighting. I'm sorry, but, you know, what do you expect, to let our troops die? We're not going to let that happen. This is them deliberately doing the opposite of what Donald Trump requested. I mean, this is a signal to all of us, but to Donald Trump in particular, of, oh, you don't want us to attack Lebanon? We're going to attack Lebanon more than we ever have before. We're going to launch 20 different airstrikes across the region. We're going to slaughter dozens of people for absolutely no purpose. You don't want us to do this? Guess what we're going to do more than we've ever done before. And I think this is the clearest signal so far as to the actual relationship between Israel and America. It's not even that they want to help us or that they're trying to be good allies. Even strategically, you would think if, you know, they're sitting there going, gee, America sure looks like it's turning on us a little bit. Maybe now would be the time to pump the brakes just a touch, you know? Show some goodwill. Go, hey, we still got to operate in Lebanon, but all right, no more, you know, major strikes for a week. Can we pause for a week just to give the Americans, you know, some ability to point to us and go, see, look, they're working with us. They're trying. It is the opposite. They are literally lashing out and killing Lebanese people just because we asked them to stop. Just because it is a component of the Memorandum of Understanding, because it is a necessary prerequisite to any form of peace. That's why they're doing it. They're bragging about it. Again, you would think, like has happened a couple times before, but you would think that Donald Trump saying, you're not going to attack Lebanon, Israel's going to have to stop doing that. I mean, actually coming out and saying, like, you don't need to take down a whole apartment building to kill one Hezbollah guy. There's not even Hezbollah in there. You're just murdering people at this point. Again, you would think, even if just for their own self-interest, even in just to put across the idea that they're not just absolutely opposed to us and actually our enemies, you would think they would just withhold like any egregious actions in Lebanon for like a couple hours. Maybe, I said a week earlier, can we get a couple days? No, you may not. Lebanon says Israeli strikes kill 47, as Israel says, four soldiers killed by Hezbollah. And this is the crazy thing, folks. They're mad that their soldiers are being killed while actively invading a foreign nation. What? What do they think is going to happen? What do you think this situation is? You're saying it's a bad thing that Hezbollah is defending themselves? Lebanon has a right to defend itself. Could we use that phrase? Lebanon has a right to defend itself. They literally, and this is from Benjamin Netanyahu, posted in Hebrew, as I instructed. He's like, I'm the one that said this. As I instructed, the IDF struck powerfully 150 Hezbollah targets in Lebanon and eliminated dozens of terrorists. So Trump signs a memorandum of understanding yesterday, right? Or was it, day before? The next day, and the memorandum of understanding has the territorial of integrity as the first stipulation. The next day, Israel does not just continue their operations in Lebanon. They massively ramp them up. And Netanyahu starts tweeting out, I said to do this. 150 spots in Lebanon, probably the biggest attack on Lebanon of this entire conflict, just so happens to come the day after President Trump politely asked them to withhold bombing Lebanon just a little bit so we can get peace established. They don't want peace. They're doing it on purpose. Don't know how much more clear it could be. They're not even doing it in a way that could even possibly be characterized as necessary for their survival or as a defensive measure. Yeah, Israel didn't have to go 5 minutes without bombing civilians. I mean, genuinely, what explains this? What explains this? Why are they trying to antagonize us? What is the strategy? I mean, I get the doctrine of severity, right? I get this idea that, like, I don't know, they feel as though you let one 19-year-old Cornell student, dislike Jews, then the world ends. So, you have to move heaven and earth to punish people for it. But, like, what the hell? What the hell? I'm in shock at how brazen Israel is. That they don't. I mean, I understand they're not going to capitulate. I never thought they were going to withdraw from Lebanon totally. But I also really am struggling to understand the strategy of doubling and tripling down on something that has no strategic value whatsoever. They are not eliminating Hamas with these bombings. They're not even really pretending to eliminate Hamas. Like they say, oh, we bombed 150 Hamas, or I'm sorry, Hezbollah safe houses, whatever they say, and killed dozens of terrorists. When it's revealed who the targets are, some of the people that they're killing, like one of them, they just destroyed an apartment building, killed the man's 4-year-old daughter. He's a member of the Lebanese army. For some reason, they had him in their AI database as a Hezbollah member, so they slaughtered his family, including his daughter. Like, strategically? What do you think happens from that point on? What do you think happens when you had somebody who previously was not aligned with Hezbollah, who was in the Lebanese army that is not fighting Israel? Well, you just killed his daughter and his wife. I think you just recruited another soldier for Hezbollah, you absolute morons. What the hell are they thinking? Like, what genuinely, what are they? Is this honestly just rubbing our noses in it? Like, is that what this is? When you rub your dog's nose in the mess they made, that they're like, it's like, is this literally just pure humiliation, power projection? Is that it? It's just that they're offended by the idea that we might ask for some consideration from them. They're offended and they're outraged at the very concept that we might ever ask them for anything. Hey, could you do us a favor and just not kill a bunch of civilians for a couple days? And that is such an outrageous imposition on them that they're like, you know what? We're going to kill everyone. We're going to kill more people than we ever have before. We're going to brag about it. We are going to spit in your face, because who do you think you are to ask us to do anything? Like, that is the mindset that we're dealing with here. They're demons, people. Like, I don't know what else to, I don't know how else to characterize it. They're like crazy. They're like actually crazy. Again, you know, just, I mean, it's just, yeah, they're all a bunch of Jonathan Pollards. I mean, that's sort of the idea that I'm getting here. And again, it's like, I don't know, man. It's one of those things. I genuinely can't even like come up with a better metaphor than what is just actually happening. But it really is, you know, it's like, have you ever read The Giving Tree? Have you ever read The Giving Tree, story about the tree that just gives of itself endlessly to a little boy that never seems to repay anything? This is like if we were the giving tree, and it's like, oh, bombs, it's all yours. Money to buy the bombs, please take ours. You need white phosphorus to drop on civilian populations? We have plenty. Take it all. You can have the money and the blood, the lives of our children. Sure. Take a dozen of them. Why not? It's all for you. You get whatever you want, whenever you want. Oh, TikTok, people are talking bad about you. Can we buy it for you, please? How about we force China? How about we accept 600,000 Chinese students in exchange for forcing them to give you what you want? How about we just give you absolutely everything we possibly can at your demand, never asking anything in return? And it'd be like watching The Giving Tree and watching the story of this selfless organism giving of itself for whatever they could possibly need. Only at the end of this story, the tree is, it's a stump and it's dying and it's spent all of its life force serving the little boy. And the tree maybe says, little boy, could you maybe water me once? Could you do me a favor and just pour a single glass of water on my roots, please? And the boy is like, what the hell is, how dare you? Who do you think you are? I'm calling the stump removal company immediately. I'm going to burn you down. Like that's where we're at, is everything. They get everything they want. We give them everything we possibly can. In return, we merely ask them politely, please stop doing gigantic bombing raids on Lebanon for like a couple days. It's sort of like the course of human history we're trying to establish. Like if things keep going as they're going, the entire economy crashes and billions of people are going to die and things are going to get crazy. Could you do us a favor and just not kill people for like a couple hours? And their response is to do bigger and more damaging raids than they ever have launched against Lebanon before. That is their response to our mere suggestion that they might possibly do a favor for us. Yeah, see, it needs a different ending. The tree was happy. Now, then, and the tree dared, the great giving tree dared to possibly request a minor inconvenience from the boy, and the boy decided to burn the tree down. So I think Israel needs to be destroyed. I mean, I think I've figured it out. I think I figured out what the problem is here. Think I figured out what is causing all of the problems. Yeah. Yeah. We, the tree, need to have a very severe talking to the little boy that we support endlessly. As instructed, the IDF struck powerfully 150 Hezbollah targets and eliminated dozens of terrorists. Benjamin Netanyahu at 9:13 a.m. today. So, you know, you can ask, you can request, you can politely suggest that they do something. We got to wrap our minds around. We have to collectively, we have to understand who it is we're dealing with here. They are making it abundantly clear. So this is the sort of the crisis moment. I mean, obviously Iran has not responded, because throughout all of this and from the very beginning, might I say, and please, anybody with any evidence to the contrary, debunk me at your will. Please tell me I'm wrong when I say that in this entire conflict, and frankly, for the last several years, Iran has shown itself to be far and away incomparably more merciful, more thoughtful, more reasonable, easier to work with. I mean, everything I see out of Iran seems to be the truth. That's just how it is. Everything I see out of Israel is a lie. Every time there is a development that increases the danger across the world, every time there is a senseless, violent attack, it's Israel doing it. And every time Iran shows restraint that I personally would not be able to maintain. It was one of the most fascinating things about this entire conflict 111 days ago when it first started. It became abundantly clear that for the last 3 years, Iran has sat back and has allowed Israel to behave in the most aggressive and belligerent way to all of its neighbors, and it has not responded, and it has not flexed its muscle, and it has not joined the war in a way that it could have. I mean, especially in the first, you know, couple of weeks of the Gaza conflict after October 7th, everything was crazy. Israel was tied down in the south. It would have been a very simple thing for Iran to go, hey, look, they're vulnerable. All hands on deck. All of our proxies, all attack right now. Take them out. Drive them out. Murder them. They didn't do that. Now, sort of the assumption was, or the implication was from the people that were covering this, was that that was because of how strong Israel is and how weak Iran is. That was from Awesome Jew. Now that much of the world has turned against Israel, it's time for Israel to act like a superpower. Jesus Christ. Build independent media military strength, develop the most advanced weapons on earth, stop seeking approval from hostile nations, take back the Sinai, reassert control over southern Lebanon, open the economy, slash taxes, attract global capital, and become a tax haven, show strength, show resolve, show dominance. You ever stop to think, maybe Iran should have a nuke? Maybe we should give Iran a nuke. There's a certain level of belligerence and insanity that Israel and the Jewish diaspora on display there. Awesome Jew is not an Israeli. He's an American. He's a patriotic American, right? I mean, what do we do about? I mean, again, just think about what we're actually dealing with here. Vice President J.D. Vance has become a complete disgrace. I've never heard such hostile anti-Israel rhetoric from a sitting vice president. Zooming out, taking a look at what's actually happening here. Israel, it's actually not that common. Israel is just trying to take over its neighbors, and merely asking them to stop is enough for them to turn on you and want to kill you as well. And it doesn't matter if their entire existence up until this point and continuing today, their entire existence depends completely on us. They are a parasite. Do you understand that? They are a colony of ticks that live off our lifeblood. This is Ben Gavir. For every tear of an Israeli mother, 1,000 Lebanese mothers must weep. All of Lebanon must burn. For every tear of an Israeli mother, 1,000 Lebanese mothers must weep. All of Lebanon must burn. I mean, genuinely, the only thing I can comprehend this by is like, they really are trying to make everybody hate them, aren't they? They really are doing everything they can to prove themselves to be irredeemably evil in the eyes of absolutely everybody. And as J.D. Vance pointed out yesterday, and we played the clip, when he said, Donald Trump is the only world leader that is even on your side anymore. And by the way, that's only because the blackmail rings and the other corruption that this group engages in. He's the only one. He's the only world leader right now that I don't even know if he likes them, but is tolerating Israel. And their response to the reality they put Trump in, they've ruined his presidency. They've hijacked the Republican Party and driven it into the ground for their sake. He has given all of this to them willingly. Now we're in a situation where the fate of America, the fate of certainly his presidency, certainly the fate of the midterms, the factual mathematical reality on the ground right now is that this conflict cannot continue. The oil reserves are running dry. The economy will enter a feedback loop spiral from which it will not recover if this conflict isn't ended. It's not even a choice Trump is making. It's a reaction to reality. It is a created situation that they help to manufacture. So it's not like Trump is just choosing. It's not like he all of a sudden decided to turn against Israel. The facts on the ground are we cannot continue to operate this way. And again, the response from Israel is to spit in his face, to double down on the attacks on Lebanon, to launch larger and more aggressive attacks than perhaps we've ever seen before, for Netanyahu to come out and brag about being the one to order it, and for people like Ben Gavir to say, we're going to kill 1,000 Lebanese people for every one Jew they make sad. What is going on? It's the only question I can possibly ask. What the hell is going on? What is going on with these psychopath idiot retards that run our world and should all be forcibly removed from power? And what the hell is wrong with Trump that they will do this to him and that he won't respond in kind? This is the perfect time, the perfect chance to cut them off and let their neighbors devour them. Please.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that the U.S. never does it, but we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get-out-of-jail-free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire us funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment for the last 2+ years. And you just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. It looks like things are changing rapidly in the Middle East, or they're staying the same rapidly. It's the same chaos. From AlexJonesLive.com, 10 minutes ago, Israel and Hezbollah agree to new ceasefire in Lebanon as Iran peace deal hangs in the balance. Okay. Only in the Middle East. Only in the Middle East do you go from the prime minister saying, "We've launched the largest attack we ever have, 150 targets. We will destroy them completely. We will make all of their mothers die." Then they're like, "And also we have a peace deal and we're doing a ceasefire." What? On Friday, Israeli ambassador to the United States, Michael Leiter, said that the Jewish state and Hezbollah will observe a ceasefire in Lebanon. President Donald Trump's Iran peace deal is contingent upon Israel halting their attack on Lebanon. Despite the reassurance that the offensive will stop, U.S. intelligence agencies are warning the president that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will likely take steps to prevent his Iran peace deal from succeeding. In a social media post on the Israeli ambassador to the U.S. said, "Israel remains firmly committed to an immediate ceasefire. At 11:30 this morning, Israel halted all offensive operations. Hezbollah and Iranian claims to the contrary or bold lies. Okay, well, what about Benjamin Netanyahu's phrase to the contrary? What? What is going on? What is happening? I don't understand. They're like, don't listen to those Iranians and those Hezbollah people saying they're being attacked. That's crazy. Meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu is putting out tweets about how they bombed 150 sites and killed dozens of terrorists. What? Okay. Am I missing something? I'm confused by this. Israel wants our neighbor to the north, Lebanon, with which we have relations dating back to King Solomon and King Hiram, to prosper and enjoy democratic freedoms. King Solomon, right? Okay. Okay. This will only happen when Hezbollah, a murderous Iranian proxy, is destroyed. The end of Hezbollah will mark the beginnings of a beautiful peace between our two countries. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a comparison between the number of civilians killed comparing the IDF and Hezbollah. Because as far as I can tell, there was one time, I think it was in 2024, when a Hezbollah missile was claimed to have landed on some Druze people in the Golan Heights. And actually, there was some confusion as to whether that was a Hezbollah missile or whether it was an interceptor or whether it was an interceptor that hit a missile and the missile fell. I never really got to the bottom of it. And Hezbollah came out and apologized and basically said, you know, this was unintentional. It was an error on the part of the, missile interceptor that attacked. I'm fairly certain that's the only example I can point to of Hezbollah even accidentally bombing civilian populations. For the entire 111 days that the Iran war has gone on, everything I've seen out of Hezbollah is them taking out tanks and snipers and command centers of the IDF inside Lebanon. Does that matter? I really want to know. Does that matter to anybody? When you call a group a terrorist group, does it matter whether or not they do terrorism? When you're defining who's a good guy and a bad guy in a conflict, does it matter what they do and who they target and what their purpose is and what their actions are? Does any of that matter at this point? Or are the definitions established and this is just how it goes? Like, from now on, even though Israel is the one murdering civilians, Israel is the one invading another country, Israel is the one deliberately using terrorism by saying we're going to kill civilians for every drone you launch, does any of that matter? Or are they just the good guys no matter what they do, and Hezbollah are terrorists even if they literally never do terrorism? Does any of this matter? I think it does, actually. I think this does matter. I think actually whether a group is a terrorist group or not depends on whether they do terrorism or not. Whether somebody is on the right side of a conflict depends on whether they're motivated by a positive inclination or whether they are just ruthlessly engaged in an ethnic cleansing campaign. I don't know. I'm like old school like that. I think that actually should matter to some degree. I just, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Honestly, it's the same thing over and over. It's exhausting. It's infuriating. And it's like only getting worse. Not once in the 2 years that Israel has been carrying out a genocide in front of everybody, not once have they even tried to justify their statements. I guess you can say they lie sometimes, right? It's like, yeah, they're on camera going, we're cutting off the food, we're cutting off the water. And then later when they're confronted with that, they do lie about it. They do say, what, us? We didn't do that. Besides that, there was the instance, it was in the first week of the conflict. They bombed a hospital, and there was a feverish attempt to lie about that. that did happen. It was in the first week. It was in October 2023. They bombed the hospital there in Gaza. And then they put out fake audio that they claimed was an intercept of radio transmissions from Hamas to try to blame Hamas for blaming the hospital. But like, at least in that moment, for that brief sparkle of time, they seemed to actually be concerned about their perception overseas. They seemed to not want to be blamed for bombing a hospital. Since then, they've bombed every hospital. Since that one little flash of conscience where they're like, what, us bombing hospitals? We would never. At this point, they have a program where they're systematically bombing healthcare workers in Lebanon. They're just doing it. So, you know, like at a certain point, we got to do something about it. We can't just let this happen forever. Like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this? Because we got to do something. And when it seems like Donald Trump finally does one potential thing, he does one thing that hints at a thing that could happen. He actually requests politely that they maybe stop bombing Lebanon for a minute. They lash out and bomb 150 places and just go completely insane. So I don't know if Trump is the guy who's going to rein them in, quite frankly. I honestly, that's crazy. It is crazy. The end of Hezbollah will mark the beginning of a beautiful peace between our two countries. Oh, I'm sure that's true. Israel is in the security zone in southern Lebanon to rid the area of Hezbollah and dismantle its terror infrastructure. We will remain there until that mission is complete. The people of Lebanon deserve a future free from Hezbollah's grip and a real, genuine peace between our two countries that remains possible. Yeah, I don't know, man. I prefer when they're just honest about what they're doing. I mean, if you're going to just, you know, ruthlessly bomb civilians, just say that. Like, at least then, you know, we know what you're up to. But it's even more despicable to me to be like, we're bringing freedom to Lebanon. And they're just like, we are going to kill 1,000 of you for every one of us you make sad. For every tear we shed, we're going to kill 1,000 of you. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit like nitpicky here. It seems to me like the force that is actively invading another country has to shut the hell up about being fought about that. And like, that's the thing. I don't know. I don't know how much longer we can just repeat this over and over. But just know, like, the Lebanese are Christians. You know that, right? It's a Christian country. At least a third of their population is Christian. They're not Hamas. They didn't participate in October 7th. None of that applies. There's one condition that Lebanon is that makes them the subject of this attack. That is that they're not Jewish. That is that they're not Israeli. Now, I don't know if I need to tell you this, but you aren't either. Europe isn't either. This is the mindset that they feel about everybody that's not them. Okay? So we should get that through our heads and treat them appropriately. You know, typically, I'm a big believer in, you know, treat others as you would like to be treated. And I just have sort of principles that I stand by. But for certain things, I really do feel like it should be treat people, usually like groups, like treat nations the way they treat others. I think is actually the more appropriate thing to do. Because on an individual basis, you can endure abuse and you can suffer it stoically. And that's fine. But like, when you're a group, when you're the head of a group, when you have the obligation of protection of a group, you have to do certain things. I always think about this when it comes to things like censorship, where it's like, if you're calling for censorship, I have no problem with you being censored. I don't want anybody censored. I don't want to be censored. I want to treat others like I want to be treated. And even if somebody else has something to say that I find distasteful, I would say things that they find distasteful. So, hey, we're both going to say distasteful things. There's a fair trade-off here. But in a way, I'm kind of like, well, if you want there to be censorship, you should be censored. You should get a taste of your own medicine. If you advocate for censorship, I think you should be censored. I think that's fine. Right? I mean, does that make sense? And I think if you as a nation, like Lebanon, or like Israel, and the way it treats Lebanon is just like, well, they're an inconvenience to us, so therefore we get to kill them. It's kind of like, all right, fair play then. I think we should treat you with that exact same level of consideration. I really think they actually deserve it. Like, Lebanon doesn't deserve anything. Lebanon's never done anything to anybody. Lebanon didn't, you know, drive out the Palestinians. Lebanon took them in. Lebanon didn't attack Israel on October 7th. They could have, probably should have. Like, going back in time, Hezbollah probably should have gotten involved a lot earlier. But apparently, Israel's the only one who's willing to be as ruthless as they are. I consider that a moral defect, but it works when everybody else is a coward. When everybody else is completely cowardly and borne down and submissive to these people, they get away with it. I think they should be destroyed. I think Israel should be destroyed. I think we should destroy Israel. I don't think it should just be destroyed. I think it's actually like we need to destroy Israel. For the love of God. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me the world wouldn't be a better place if Israel had never existed. And sort of, you know, again, it's like, I just don't understand what's going on in these people's minds. Like the awesome Jew that we read earlier, where they're, you know, it's just like this weird, they're like in their own head where they feel like they're like being forced to do this. It's like, no, you're not. Like, what? Just what are you doing? Just what are you doing? We're literally just like, hey, would you mind not killing a bunch of civilians? Sort of causing a problem with our peace negotiations. And they're just like, how about instead we be the villains you think we are, and we'll take back Sinai, and we'll drive the Gazans into the ocean, and we'll slaughter everyone in Lebanon if we want to. It's like, we literally just asked you to chill for a second. Like, I don't understand what's going on in y'all's minds. But like, you have to be stopped. You have to be stopped. You people have to be stopped. Laura Loomer calls for censorship on X, says APAC tracker account and anyone who reposts its content should be banned for incitement to violence. Looks like APAC tracker is going to have to go handcuff themselves to Laura Loomer's front door. Yeah, kind of ironic. The woman that once chained herself to the outside of X to protest their censorship, now calling for censorship. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Kind of ironic? Isn't that kind of ironic? Not really, actually. Actually, it's completely in line with the just base hypocrisy that forms the core of her personality. So not actually that surprising. Conservative journalist. Sorry, Kellen. All respect to Kellen. I know he's got certain journalistic, you know, standards to uphold, but I don't. So I'm going to change this. Conservative journalist, Israeli gossip monger, Israeli gossiper, Laura Loomer is calling for the popular account APAC tracker to be banned after the suspects behind a recent terror plot reportedly used images created by the account to identify politicians they'd be targeting. Well, how dare they? I mean, were the facts provided accurate? They were? Well, that's no defense. Just because they're telling the truth about something? Like, it's different when you have something like the SPLC putting out a hate crime map where they just assert that, you know, the Family Christian Council, you know, for pro-life, and they're just like telling all of their followers, these people are terrorists. These are Christian extremists that want to kill you. And it's a bunch of people like, we like babies. What? We want to help moms with babies. And they're just like, they're evil fascist, and they want to kill all trans people. They're a threat. They're committing a genocide against you. Okay, I don't think that should be legal. I don't think it should be legal for, you know, a very high-powered, prominent organization to be declaring their political enemies terrorists and basically encouraging their followers to attack them. It's a little different when you do what APAC Tracker does, which is literally just show the factual reality behind people's fundraising. Should open secrets be shut down? I mean, the APAC Tracker account, you're probably familiar with it because we show the images all the time because it's useful. They show a picture of a politician and they show how much money they've taken from APAC. That's just a factual accounting. That's just reality. Laura Loomer is mad that this is the reality. According to the FBI indictment, the suspects who plotted the drone and sniper attack on the White House used flyers and mugshots from APAC Tracker account to choose which politicians to kill, she wrote, adding that account essentially puts pro-Israel Americans on wanted posters and politicians on the woke Reich, like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie, will keep boosting it. You know who also brags about how much politicians take from APAC? APAC does. You know, you could find this information from APAC themselves as they brag about choosing all of their politicians. This is a tricky situation for APAC to be in because they're trying to, you know, control people's access to just factual information. That's a difficult thing to do. Do we have this video of Laura? She's eating dog food in that video. She's eating dog food right there. APAC Tracker update. APAC and the Israeli lobby have now spent $15 million boosting Ed Galrain and attacking Representative Thomas Massie in KY04. See, and what track APAC needs to add right after that is, and that's a great thing. Thanks, APAC. Then it's fine, right? I didn't see a call to action there. I didn't see them saying Ed Galrain got support from APAC, therefore go out and kill Ed Galrain. There's no call to action. There's no call to violence. There was no lie that made people think that, you know, these people are terrorists when they aren't. This isn't an SPLC situation or anything of the sort. This is a factual accounting of the amount of money that they've taken from APAC. So if Track APAC wants to go from being a violent anti-Semitic domestic terrorist organization, as Laura Loomer asserts, if you want to transmogrify, if you want to transform and evolve into just yet another pro-Jewish organization, then all you need to do is put a smiley face at the end of every one of your tweets, okay? Somebody send this to Track APAC. They need to know. You need to switch the red with the green, just switch them around, and just say, hey, look, we love APAC, and we want to celebrate how APAC is helping all of these patriotic Israel first candidates get elected. If you want to know who to vote for, if you support the ruthless parasite of Israel, then this is who you vote for. Okay. It's not that what you're saying is bad or wrong or incorrect or not something that APAC themselves brags about. It's that you don't like it. It's called celebration parallax. It's the same reason why you can find organizations like Stop Antisemitism or the Tikva Fund or any of the other Jewish organizations or Dennis Prager himself making videos where they talk about, and indeed in some cases brag about, the fact that Jewish forces, Jewish ideology, Jewish people were behind the gay rights movement and the civil rights movement and all of the isms, as Dennis Prager puts it, racism, sexism, like these things were born out of the Jewish community. And that's a great thing. And thank you, Jews, for doing that. See, now I'm a patriot. I'm a genius. I'm a loving person. If I say exactly the same thing, but I don't like it, now I'm an evil anti-Semite and I have to be destroyed. So for Track APAC, you've got to just pretend you're happy about what's going on. That's it. It's pretty simple. Just go, you know, APAC gave however many millions of dollars to Ed Galrain to unseat Thomas Massie. Take that, Thomas Massie. Now you understand, Thomas Massie, what it's like to go up against the Jewish people. It's like running into a buzzsaw, as John Podoretz puts it. Take that. You deserve it. You stupid idiot sucker, Thomas Massie. You should have sold out to Israel a long time ago. Then you'd be successful, like the genius Ed Gowerain, the patriotic genius Ed Gowerain, who humbly accepted a moderate consideration from the Patriots at AIPAC. Like, you, if you just phrase it that way, no problem. There's no problem at all. There's no problem. I mean, you don't want to get blamed for domestic terrorist attacks. So track AIPAC simply needs to celebrate and honor and uplift those who take AIPAC money and just publish how much money they've taken from AIPAC and say, so this is a guy you can trust, all right? Look how much money this AIPAC gave to this guy. You think AIPAC's just giving out money to guys you can't trust? If AIPAC gave him money, that's who you should probably be voting for, okay? Instead of, rename it Celebrate AIPAC. Instead of Track AIPAC, name it Celebrate AIPAC, or, you know, Champions of AIPAC. And then everybody that you highlight as being a lick, spittle, scumbag, slave of Israel, you can instead say they are a patriotic American who actually genuinely understands the value that Israel brings to our country. So I think that's the solution. And I think Laura Loomer should be kicked off of X. Not that I believe anybody should be kicked off of X, but I do believe people should get what they want, get what they demand. If you want this for other people, it should be done to you. That's how I feel. Anna Kasparian says she's against Americans being informed about who our politicians sell themselves to. Well, but only when it comes to Israel. More like Arian Kasparian. Hold on. Wait a second. Kasparian Brotherhood. Do you see where I'm going with this? Laura Loomer should go to jail. Maybe we play that video of Laura on the other side, but actually I think I'm done with it. I think I'm done with it and her. And again, like, you know, you can just ignore these people. Laura Loomer, who cares? Who cares what she has to say? And with that, folks, we end our first hour. We'll be back in about 60 seconds to continue our coverage of the absolute insanity tearing apart our culture from the inside out. Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, the 2026 Dodge Charger giveaway is on with a 50-time multiplier starting today. Make your purchases, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Be entered to win the incredible cars and enjoy the incredible products. We'll be right back.
Have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this and the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the Rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America, 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can kind of promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you really got to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.